Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Daniel Shine. That's producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
And our special guest of the evening, Chris McGibbon.
Hello.
Longtime listeners know Chris McGibbon. He is here tonight to talk about the brand new Demons 4K set.
Apparently only you're going to talk about it, though, Chris.
Oh, well, God damn it, Todd. I just am putting over our guest.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't have it either. I'm not going to talk about it at all or nothing. So.
And we will also get Todd's opinion as
but
well.
Dan doesn't care because he doesn't care about my opinion, so.
I mean, right now, I don't care about your opinion.
My opinion is I do not like Dan's hat. I'm sure yours is similar.
It's beautiful.
All right. Hat. That's fair.
Had to bring it back on my side. So.
Yeah, you had to. Okay. We're on the same page now.
So, Demons. Brand new set from Arrow in the UK. 4K, region free. So, why don't we start with the issue they already addressed?
The stereo being mono?
Yeah. And the 5.1 being stereo?
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting... Well, so to clarify, I guess what they were telling people was people discovered that this 2.0 stereo track on the set was actually incorrectly labeled as mono, a mono track. So for the non-tech savvy people out there, and Todd, jump in if I'm fucking this up, because, you know, mono comes out of one speaker, stereo comes out of two. Pretty fair?
Yes, but you can still have 2.0 stereo where it comes out of both speakers, but it's still essentially mono. It's just the same thing in both speakers.
Okay, so anyway, mono just essentially comes out of one, effectively. Right. And when Synapse Films, who also released Demons on Blu-ray, like, I don't even know how many years ago at this point, it's been a while, but forever, their edition was the edition to own for these movies. They released it in stereo, and they did say on a blog post that their stereo track was taken from the Japanese Laserdiscs of Demons and Demons 2 that had stereo options. You know, the licensor only had a mono track, which they also include on the disc. They include an English mono track for the European audio, as well as the 2.0 and the 5.1. and the U.S. mono mix. And I think the only thing they don't have is commentaries. But anyway, so Arrow basically said, this is what the licensor gave us. We incorrectly labeled it. If you want the stereo experience, you can watch the movie in 5.1 and just switch your surround sound setting to 2.0, and you're going to get exactly what the stereo track would have been. So they basically saying, we're not going to fix it. We understand it is a mistake, but it's going to be too costly for us, which is probably... the case. It's just the cost isn't worth the reason to fix it. So that's problem number one. Number two, which is
the big one, most personal to you. I mean, me
is,
too on that.
Which is my biggest issue with the set is the U.S. mono version, or the U.S. edit is not the complete U.S. mono track. At an hour and 2 minutes, I even have the code written down. The audio switches to the European audio track, which normally, honestly, for this section of the movie, isn't that big of a difference, which they probably felt like nobody would really care, but...
Or notice, like except...
Or notice. Well, other people noticed, aside from me, which I was really happy about, because I thought, like, I'm going to be the only one that's going to give a shit. But when I was on Blu-ray.com, and I had said something, somebody was like, yeah, I just watched it. I was coming here to complain about the exact same thing. And somebody else chimed in, same thing. So I was like, okay, so maybe this might get some traction and maybe it might cause Arrow to go, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. But my issue is, not my issue, but my reasoning for feeling like they're not going to fix it is because this wasn't like it was an authoring error. This was a conscious decision made by somebody who edited this together. I believe David McKenzie is the person who did it. And I'm genuinely shocked I haven't reached out to him already. Like, what the fuck did you do? because you can definitely hear the mono track is not, it's not bad, but it's definitely not as clear as the stereo track or the mono track from the European version. So you can definitely hear a shift in audio quality. And for like one scene, the scene with the demons come in the theater and kill all the people, if that was the only scene that they had to use the stereo track for whatever reason, I wouldn't have minded it. But then it goes on for 12 minutes from that point on for the rest of, you know, for the movie. And there's, you know, audio cues missing from the or in the US version. Some of the dubbing is slightly different. So it's like, you know, you're not getting the full US audio that you're promised. And for me, that was the biggest selling point of the set, was to finally get the US audio mix of the movie without any looping or without any other audio dropped in to replace missing footage of a fucking Coke can. I was finally getting the US cut of the film, which I know people that go with the cut version, it's kind of a novelty. And there were more people that are used to the European version because they saw it on the Anchor Bay DVD.
So see, at this point, yeah, that is probably the one people are.
But for their OG Demons fans who saw it on fucking VHS and a Laserdisc and in the theaters, we're used to the US audio version, which I think everybody pretty much across the board, once they watch the movie with that audio, has said it is a better sounding track. The music is placed better. The dubbing is better. The ambient sound effects really add a good mood to the film. Like, there's a lot, like in the European version, there's a lot of tracks that just feel like they sort of drop the song in the scene just to say that, okay, we've got this song in the movie and here it is. It wasn't really there for any type of effect. It was just in the scene. And I noticed that with a lot of Italian horror, not to sway too far back here, but I was watching a couple other, like, I think it was, I can't remember the name of it. Yosh Fulci movie.
House by the Cemetery?
No, not that one. Enigma. Enigma, and there was one other one I'm going to try to remember. But both of them, like, the music just felt like they just put it in the movie somewhere. Like, here, we have this track. Here it is. It doesn't really, you know, I've noticed that there's a lot of Italian horror movies where they just go to put music in it. It doesn't really seem to have an impact, if you know. But in Demon's case, it was really like the U.S. version. Like, they really just knew, like, this is where it should go. And this is where the song should start. And this is where it should end. Like, versus we're just going to put it in here and, like, gently fade it out of the scene. There's that scene where Rosemary's getting trapped in the fucking room. And there's a heavy metal song playing in the background. And the song starts to fade out as she's, like, pushing against the door. I'm like, why would you fade the song out? It just doesn't make sense. In the U.S. version, the song stops before that scene starts, and then when she turns around and hits the door, the song kicks back into gear, and it's in full blast. It makes you go, ah! You know, it gives you an emotion. Anyway, so those are my two biggest gripes with the set, is the fuck it, we're not going to fix it 2.0 stereo, and the we made a weird edit in the US mono track for no discernible reason. They can't really say that it's because the elements were missing, because the Synapse Blu-ray has that audio with no issues. Not to mention, like, there's a Laserdisc on eBay right now for like $35. I'm sure there's been others sold recently. They could have bought one and just swapped it out, replaced it, whatever, but here we are.
Other than that, though, I mean, are you happy with the set? I mean, we get a couple new extras.
I thought the movie looked fantastic. I was definitely happy with the way it looked. What's kind of a testament to the Synapse disc is it's not a night and day difference. The Synapse disc is pretty comparable to the 4K UHD version of Demons, so that's pretty telling on how good their transfer was.
Yeah, I actually watched it. The Aero transfer blown up on to 105 inches on the projection screen, and it looked really good. The grain was still there. I mean, you could still tell a really good transfer. And I also watched it on the 4K TV just to, you know, It's a little bit different, you know, presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But the Synopsis were so good. It's kind of like their Suspirias. The jump from the 4K and that one, they're just both so good. I mean, you're good either way.
Yeah. Well, I think with Suspiria, I thought they couldn't have improved Suspiria at all. And then I saw the 4K and went, oh, okay.
It's really the black levels get so deep in black.
It really is. Like, because it was like, I'm never watching the Blu-ray again. Yeah. I love the Blu-ray, but I knew watching that, I was like, I don't need to ever again. This is the only way I'm ever going to watch this movie from now on.
So other than the audio, I mean, other than the audio track, or if Synops ever revisits this, which do you think's the definitive version now?
If it wasn't for the audio track, I would honestly say this one, because for the inclusion of the US cut, for me personally, that was the biggest selling point. I also like that when I watched that cut of the movie, they restored the original company distribution's logo, which probably hadn't been seen since it was released in theaters. And they also had the English titles, which weren't included on the Synapse disc. The Synapse disc just had the Italian titles on the disc. They didn't have an option for like seamless branching. That was something that always kind of bugged me. I understood, like, an Italian horror film, you know, you've got multiple titles, and also, you know, it is an Italian horror film, so you're going to want to watch it in its native language. But there is a title card for the movie that says Demons. You
know I have to argue the native language on Demons, because you really don't have one, because it's dubbed, and like some versions you have some English. It's like you can never watch what truly is the native tongue, because either way you're going, you're going to be watching a dubbed version somehow.
Well, native in the sense that it's an Italian-produced film. Okay. Dario Argento produced it, Lombardo Bava directed. And it was an Italian production company that made the film. So I would call this an Italian horror.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't want anyone to feel shamed watching the English dub. It's not like watching, you know, it's...
No, and on this disc, on the Arrow disc, on the Italian version, you do get the original Italian opening credit.
Nice.
And closing credits. So, I mean, that's the thing that sort of gives this one a bit of an edge, in that it has pretty much everything you could want for now, until I would be shocked if Arrow decides to fix this, because again, I don't think it's something they're going to look at as that needs to be fixed. It's not like there's an, like I said, there's an authoring error, or there's a switch in reels or something. This was a conscious decision made by somebody to do it at that point in the film and to continue it to that point in the film. Somebody actually said that the reason he felt like that someone might have done that was because it's like the action portion of the movie, and maybe they thought it sounded better and they wanted it to sound better. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, okay, that better not be the excuse, because then don't call it the complete US release, because it's not. You know, and they could have, I don't know how their track sounds compared to the Synapse disc. I didn't compare the two of them, but I do think Synapse's mono track for the US version did sound better. I remember this feeling like a lot of it was kind of flat, except for like the ambient sound effects. The bass really kicked in, but it seemed to be whenever any of the heavy metal music was playing, the movie kind of felt like it was underneath everything, if that makes sense. Whereas on the Synapse disc, it felt like it was loud and it was part of the film.
It was up in the front.
Well, yeah.
One thing I do want to mention, because they make a note of saying that the US version is cut. And by cut, it's missing, just for people who haven't seen it and they're like, well, I don't want to watch it, it's cut. There we go, because there's Coca-Cola logos. So basically you missed two shots or three shots of them passing a Coke can where you actually see the logo.
Yeah, because Coca-Cola in the U.S. said absolutely not, no way.
You know what? It's weird, though, because I noticed something I've never noticed before watching it. So I think they weren't going to – they were trying not to use the Coke products, because, of course, we've seen the can that they actually snipped the Coke off. Is taped all red, so you can't see the logos. And then also, this is what I noticed for the first time, I've never noticed, in the opening when they're getting their snacks at the soda machine,
it's a Coke machine,
and it's obviously been covered over the logo in red tape. So I wonder if those Coke can shots that did make it in there were just because they were like, fuck it, we need a can, go get, you know, it was, they didn't have that taped red, the one that was taped all red. So
I would say you might be correct, but it's a Coke can and they're sniffing Coke. That seems pretty on the nose.
Oh, no. I get why they did
it. Pardon that pun. You know what I mean?
I get why they did it and why, but I think that the fact that a one that had the logo when it got into the movie probably wasn't something they even thought of when they, I don't think that was Because they, it looks like they were consciously trying to avoid that in general.
Yeah, it could have also been that maybe in the beginning they were avoiding it, but then in the year in Europe they got the okay from Coke to do it, mm-hmm. so they decided to throw it in the movie. I mean, now that you mention it, those shots in the Coke can do seem an awful lot like insert shots that may have been shot a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I do know that in the U.S. market, because I actually spoke to the guy who did the mix for the U.S. version. His name is Lawrence Applebaum, who also had a hand in Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, which I didn't know. He actually owns that movie. He was the one who sold it to Shout Factory. That guy's like 92 years old. Actually, I also talked to the person who handled the U.S. distribution of Demons, because I was trying to track down the original audio elements for the U.S. version for an undisclosed company for a release that didn't happen. And we actually found out that the U.S. mix was mixed in stereo. It wasn't mixed in mono. It was actually mixed in stereo, and there should be, and there's also a dupe negative that exists of that version with hopefully the stereo, original stereo elements with it. But anyway, Lawrence confirmed with me that Coca-Cola did indeed contact them and say, you can't do this. We'll sue the company if you do that. Because Coke, they were a representative of all these different theaters. They threatened to not let the chains carry the movie. So he said, think about it. I mean, the rest of the movie's uncut. So he said that we knew that, you know, it was going to be a problem. So we just cut it out and we left it, you know, we knew it was going to be an issue, and it, no one noticed it was missing. Yeah. So,
Dan, I saw you were going to say something a minute ago. Did you want to jump in?
Oh, I was curious. When was the last time that Arrow had to send out replacement discs? Because I know they haven't had to do it like Scream Factory has.
I don't think they have in a while.
The last one I remember was on the limited edition Blood Rage set, where on the DVD they accidentally sent out the PAL disc instead of the NTSC.
I remember that,
The US set.
Well, which they'd have to fix that. I was going to say, right, maybe there's not enough history with them having to do this that you can tell if they will fix it or not.
Well, like I said, in this particular instance, I think it was a conscious decision made by an editor versus a mistake. So,
yeah,
they're also looking at the U.S. version as an extra. I mean, they didn't look at it as the main feature. It's an extra version of the movie. I mean, they did the same thing happened with Chud. U.S. version of Chud, or the original cut of Chud, is missing dialogue and sound effects from the audio track. They never fixed that.
It's basically that cut. It's just the rate, or I guess the uncut, the international cut, whatever, rearranged to be the U.S. cut, but it's not the actual U.S. cut. Like,
right.
It's not missing it is missing those cues and those lines, but it's just because
they never use that audio.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just that, which is frustrating. And I know I may not have noticed the audio shift like you did on this, Chris, but I'm not going to say anything bad, because you know how I feel about the Halloween mono. It drives me insane, and I notice it immediately. So I know this isn't going to be a big thing for a lot of people that are, because so many people now have grown up on that Anchor Bay mix now. It's, I don't even think, and then people that automatically pop it in and put it on the default setting, the people who want to hear this are going to have to switch to it. But I do like now that Arrow's been giving you the option right when it starts. It pops up which version do you want to watch, versus it's just default. You hit play, you're watching whatever. So
right, unless you select it separately from the menu, that is cool.
But the films itself, I mean, we should probably talk a little bit about them.
Obviously.
I was going to say, do you have anything cool to say or anything, Chris?
I mean, I am a big fan. I do own this lovely piece that I got off of some guy in Russia made this, actually. So it's kind of cool. No, I mean, I love the movie. I think it's one of the best Italian horror films ever made, period. The first one specifically. Fucking wonderful mix of action and horror and gore and, you know, amazing soundtrack if you're watching the right version. Great characters, memorable set pieces. I mean, you know, I saw this movie at a midnight screening with a friend of ours, and it was a 35 millimeter print. And like, you know, in the beginning of the movie, everybody was, you know, ragging the movie. They were kind of laughing at some of the stuff, especially when Tony the Pimp comes on, because, you know, he's got that blaxploitation voice, and they all thought it was hysterical. But once the demon showed up, like, there were parts of that movie you could hear a fucking pin drop. The audience just all of a sudden, it was like this movie clicked on a level that I don't think they expected it to. And then it became a roller coaster ride. You know, they were laughing, they were screaming. The guy and his girlfriend sitting next to me, the girlfriend had seen it, but the guy hadn't. The dude leapt in my lap at one point. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like the entire theater just ate that fucking movie up, like you wouldn't believe. And it was amazing. It was just incredible. Like, that, when that screening really, like, I mean, I always loved the movie, but that screening really elevated that movie to a much higher status of, like, this movie still has legs. This movie can still impact an audience. This movie can still make people react. And for a low budget movie that was made for less than $1 million in 1984, I think it was, by a bunch of crazy Italians just trying to duplicate an American horror film, it's a pretty amazing thing that it still, that it did any of that, you know?
Yeah.
So I love it, in case you couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think about the first one? I know it's came up before, but...
Well, I absolutely adore the movie. And since this makes sense, if you give me a minute, I will show off something demons related.
Okay, well, while you do that, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, Love Fest, though. I absolutely adore
that. I know. That's what I kind of knew what that was going to be today anyway.
Give me a minute.
Go for it. Which is kind of why this, we're focusing on the issues I know that are... I knew Chris was going to want to talk about, because we have a long history with this version of the film. So
we do. And I actually, one of the things I wanted to say earlier was, even if they tried to come and say that the reason they replaced that audio for that 12 minutes was because, let's say, for instance, like, there's just like the audio just wasn't staying in sync and they couldn't really figure out this is the only fix they have. That would be my cue to be like, hey, I did this version myself. And here's how you fucking do it. You take the US Laserdisc version, which is what I used. You put it over the European version master, whatever you're using. And you go through the fucking movie frame by frame. Because I did it. You know, and I made the US cut. I almost contacted them when I found out they were doing this. Like, hey, how are you guys doing it? What did you do? Here's what I did. Do you need any help? You know, something. Because I have contacts at Arrow and I just didn't think, I thought that, because their track record has been so good. I just thought they're not going to fuck this up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can see Dan's ready. Dan, why don't you go ahead and start talking?
I'm doing my best to get this in frame. This lighting, you may not see the autographs, but.
Yeah, you can.
This is basically autographed by pretty much everybody you can get. I've got Claudio Simonetti, Lamberto Bava, Jaretta, Bobby Rhodes, Sergio Stivaletti. That is my cool demons thing. I don't really have the props. But...
So, Dan, you still live at the same address, right?
I was lucky to catch a reunion. And
see. Yeah. This is why I don't do collection updates or anything like that.
He's just going to wake up and that poster is just going to be missing. And there's going to be an IOU note. I have the original theatrical poster, actually, if we're going to.
Well, that's not the original poster, so I will say that.
Oh, well, I have the original. It's, let me see if I can flip you guys around real quick.
All right. I didn't know we were going to have a dick measuring contest, so I didn't bring anything.
So the original's right there on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So it's all red. So.
Oh, that's cool.
That's my.
Well, the one thing I actually did want to talk about, because I've always been like, okay, the second one's not as good, this and that. But I watched it this time. It's been a long time because I've definitely seen Demons 1 way more than Demons 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just really, really got into it this time. And I don't know, something about it this time, I liked it a lot more than I have previously.
Demons 2 is fine. The big issue with Demons 2 is it's obviously a very rushed film. That's the biggest downfall.
And it's very much a sequel because we hit almost all the same beats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything down to the punks in the car you know, and in this movie, they exist for no reason at all. At least in the first movie, there was a purpose. But in this movie, it was just to get that in there. And it honestly, it's a big detriment to the film, because in the first, like I said, the first one, it has a payoff. In the second film, it doesn't. So it cuts away from any tension that they're building up inside the apartment building. And the apartment building, you know, you could argue that they kind of did it to fill in time, to make it, you know, so there was, you know, there was, you know, to fill the script in. But you really could have done that with more characters from the apartment complexes by introducing them. But also on the same token, like, you do have a little boy who's been left home alone. Eventually, his parents are going to try to get home. So I guess, like, that's maybe where their purpose is they caused a car accident that doesn't allow mom and dad to get home to warn the, you know, to let the police and everyone know that something is going on inside the building. But my biggest complaint with part two is the way the demons are taken out. It's so lame. It's a fireball, and like, it kills all of them. Meanwhile, an entire garage full of people with Molotov cocktails, shotguns, and axes couldn't put a dent in these fucking things. But this guy lights off a fucking match in a stairwell, and they all die, except for one. That was kind of lame. Like, I'm like, okay, you guys could have tried a little harder. You know, you could have done something a little better. But my stance of both of these movies is Demons 1 is a great action horror film. Demons 2 is a great action suspense film. Demons 2 focuses more on suspense than the first one does. It also is a much more logical film. The power going out and causing the building to, you know, basically lock itself down is far more believable than a random wall appearing in front of a door that no one can figure out how it got there and why it's there. So I think that those elements do make it, you know, a really good companion piece. And also, too, the first one's a heavy metal horror film. The second one's a new wave horror film. They're all very different in that way. I just wish they had spent a little more time baking the script. I think if they had given themselves another couple of months in development and a little bit more time, it would have been enough for them to really come up with some, you know, other stuff that, you know, other than just repeating the same beats over and over again. I think that's that's the biggest problem, is that it really is a sequel / soft remake, essentially. Like, it kind of feels like it really is the same movie. I mean, even recasting a lot of the same actors and actresses from the first film, and then dubbing them with the same voice actors.
That's the one thing. Like, you mentioned the voice actors. They wouldn't have done that. It wouldn't have been like, okay, well, that's the same guy as the last one. And that's something that's totally avoidable, considering, you know, the U.S. dub is different.
Right. And, you know, they could have, I mean, Hank, the gym instructor, was Bobby Rhodes. I mean, don't get me wrong, the dude's fucking awesome. I love seeing him come in and kick ass. But they could have been like his brother, Tony. You know what I mean? Like, they could have thrown a line in it when he sees the demons that they got my brother, Tony. They ain't going to get me. And it's like, oh, it's like his twin. You know what I mean? It's like,
Tony went down a darker path.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, and this one was a much more literal in the sense about the movie violence affecting real life, because of course it has that infamous scene of the demon pushing out of the TV and getting into Sally's apartment and then, you know, turning her into a demon. Whereas the first movie, it's more subdued. It's more subtext. Not context, you know, it's not so literal that the, you know, I love that scene. And I think a lot of people, if they saw the movie when they were kids, they remember that scene. Because to a kid, that would be fucking terrifying, to be watching a horror movie and all of a sudden the thing on the screen is watching you and starts walking towards you and you're making eye contact with it. So you know it's seeing you, you're seeing it. And then it just starts pushing through your TV. I mean, that I never understood why she didn't just get up and throw the TV on the ground. But, like, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, whatever. There wouldn't have been a movie. But I do like Demons too. I mean, it's a comparable sequel.
Yeah. Well, I guess overall, the big question is, would you recommend this set? Well, you know.
For now.
Chris can't give his endorsement for that.
I'm so mad at them for fucking this up, because I really was ready to just have to And what frustrates me even more is Demons is by large and far the preferred film of these two. I know more people who are fans of Demons than Demons 2. Demons 2 never has any problems. That movie has, every single release, there hasn't been an issue. Demons 1 somehow always gets fucked up.
We have an audio issue.
Yeah, but nobody cares.
This is true.
Nobody cares. You know what I would have liked to see them include, and it sounds kind of weird, but on Demons 2 is to also include the US R-rated version. It sounds kind of strange, but in a way, that version of the movie flows a little better.
I'm kind of surprised that they put the US cut on it on the disc with the other one. Their MO is typically to put the limited on the limited sets and on a third disc and pull it on re-releases. So mm-hmm. I'm surprised we didn't get the US cut of that, of both, on a exclusive separate 4K. Disc. Yeah, which would have been cool.
Yeah, and the Demons 2 US version would be really easy to do because there's no audio differences. It really is just cut. But Demons 2 has a lot of shots that I think linger on a little too long on the gore stuff, especially when the kid, when the demon's coming out of him. I remember that just thinking like, oh, that's such an obvious puppet, you know, in the uncut version, but in the R-rated version, it just sort of pops up. It doesn't, you don't have enough time to see it to know that it's a puppet. It sounds weird to want a cut version of the movie, but there was something about that. I watched that version not too long ago, but this actually kind of, there's stuff missing. It's only like 3 minutes of footage, or I think it's about 3 minutes of footage. It missing kind of actually makes the movie flow a little better. I don't know, but
it's funny because off air before we jumped on, I brought up the Frighteners, and you know, if Arrow's going to put it out, because we've gotten cards and things, and that's when I'd like to see the art or the U.S. theatrical cut included. But I'm not going to watch that one like I do the long cut, the unrated cut. But it's just something nice to have included.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially if you want to do a definitive release of these movies, I think it would have elevated the package certainly. And also, if they hadn't fucked up the U.S. audio, I would have totally say yes, buy the set. Well, it's sold out, but buy the standard releases when they come out. You know, I mean,
So Chris is saying, don't rush out and spend $300 to get the set right now.
No, because honestly, yeah. I think someone else is going to do it better, and someone else is going to fix the problem. And I think that's hopefully going to be it as far as release. Like, that'll be the end all be all release for this movie if somebody else manages to fix. Well, we'll fix the problem realistically. What I would love to see is if they could track down those stereo elements for the U.S. version that supposedly exist or should still exist, because that would just be amazing if we could get a stereo version of that audio track and the mono, just to be like, you know, now we've got both versions. And I would just like that by itself. Don't put it in a set, just release it by itself. I'll buy 10 copies on principle.
I think there's going to be a lot of angry people once something's announced, which seems likely, but
that's what I don't get with will it inevitably come out in the US on 4K? Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Might be very soon though.
But too. See, here's the thing though, Dan, by going with the logic, well, I don't want to get it because it'll come out here soon, then why buy anything? Because everything's going to get re-released, so it's no right. different than you buying,
well,
you know, Dawn of the Dead than buying Dawn of the Dead again. Probably would have worked better with Halloween than buying Halloween again, then buying Halloween again, then getting Halloween in the set, then getting the Halloween 4K. I mean, it's the same thing.
Considering the odds, I definitely wouldn't pay the prices now, which I assume are going to be pretty insane, because that's not going to feel good, especially if they announce it in a month.
But the one thing that is kind of, well, this one does have exclusive extras, so if you like that, even their archival extras on this release, because there's only one new extra on each disc, but the archival extras are from the older era releases, which are also exclusive to those releases. So you don't have any extras from this and the Synops discs like they're not
the crossover. The if you're into the extras package, then you're not missing, you're not losing anything, but you're gaining something if you already have the synopsis. So, I think that, you know, if you're into extras, I mean, you're going to be happy either way. I mean, and honestly, I mean, again, for people who at this point, which is probably a lot further out than in, that are used to the European version, they're going to be very happy with this set.
Yeah.
You know, because to them, it's going to sound fine. It's going to look great. And Demons 2, like I said, really hasn't had any major issues in any of its releases. The judder on the negative is still in the movie, in which I know Arrow, I think they did say that they did attempt to fix it more than it had ever been fixed before, but it looked just as bad to me as it always did. And, it's not their fault. It's on the film. Like, no one, I mean, but you'd have to go through the movie frame by frame by frame by frame to fix it and readjust every frame. And no one's going to take that kind of time to do that for Demons 2. Maybe if it was the first one, they might do it, but certainly not the sequel. What are you grinning about?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I was.
Looks like you're looking at something naughty, Todd. Are you doing something?
You're wearing glasses, Todd. We can see a reflection on your screen. Is that midget porn?
Okay, well, first, you're talking to the wrong guy for that one. That's the guy in the hat.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe we don't life about you we don't know about.
Is there something wrong about Beautiful Little Women?
Oh, I know, but you prefer the little. I don't want to say his name.
All fun fact, though, Demons 2 was the movie that kickstarted my VHS obsession again.
Really?
Yeah, because I found a brand new copy of it on eBay for $25.
Three years ago
at this point.
The New World or the...
No, for Demons 2. No, if it was Demons 1.
Well, who was Demons 2? They were New World?
Imperial.
Imperial did Demons 2. Okay, I was going to say that one or the Anchor Bay, but it was the
Imperial. There was a seller selling... Because I remember my biggest gripe with Demons 2 and VHS, every time I tried to find a copy, the box always looked like it had been through some kind of hell. I'd never seen a mint copy of it. And then one day I just popped the search in and there it was, brand new, $24.95. The person who was selling it had like three or four copies of it.
And did you buy all of them?
I bought two of them. Well, I bought one to open and one to keep sealed. And that was the first movie I kind of watched on. My friend of mine gave me her old tube TV with a VCR hooked up to it. And I popped that tape in and I just got the bug. I was just like, fuck. Because it was fun to revisit it on that format. That was the first time I had seen Demons 2 was on VHS. And actually, I saw Demons 2 before I saw Demons. So, I mean, you know, in a way, Demons 2 actually has more nostalgia than the first one does. But the first one's a much better film. So, nostalgia doesn't really hold up with that one. But, yeah, I mean, I just... I really was. I was just. It really did a kickstart. I also have a Demons 2 poster, but that's not hung up anymore.
So. Oh, well, it doesn't get the respect of the first one.
I was gonna hang it up next to the first one, but it's 27x41. The first one.
Yeah.
So the first poster is 29x42. It's miscut. It's supposed to be 27x41, but the border on the right side is like 2 inches longer, wider than it should be. And the bottom one is like this thick. It's crazy. So I actually had somebody trim my poster to 27x40 to fit it into a 27x40 frame. And that was before I got the Demons 2 poster. So now they're not the same size. So it was going to drive my OCD crazy. So I didn't hang it up yet, but I do have another Demons poster that I can cut 27x41. And someday I will do that, and I will be hanging those two up.
Is there a home video one for the...
Yes.
Do you have that one?
I do not. It's actually much harder to get than the theatrical posters.
Okay. I thought it might be because you figure...
Yeah. There is one on eBay right now for $125, but it's folded and it's not in great condition. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend nearly $130 on a poster that looks like shit. If it was folded and in good shape, I probably would have bit the bullet, but... it looks like it's been through the ringer. So,
have you met anyone from Demons? I know you've met.
I don't know. I haven't met anybody, but I did talk to Greta on Facebook and over the phone, actually. You know, and I loved her. I thought she was wonderful.
She's cool.
I tried to reach out to Lamberto Bava's son because he was an assistant director on Demons, and he was interviewed on the Synapse Disc, which is actually why I reached out to him in the first place, because he had a lot of cool stories to tell, and I wanted to see if I could pick his brain a little bit, but he never answered the messages. So this was also like when COVID was just starting. So I think Italy was like,
they were
hit pretty hard at that point. So
I'm surprised you didn't go to the Chiller reunion, because man, they had a lot of people that year.
I thought about going to that, and I think Don May, who runs Synapse Films, told me about it, and I was thinking about going, but I just didn't have the money to travel out there and to do that. It was just too costly, so I just wasn't able to do it. But yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we don't have a perfect release of these movies yet. It's long overdue, for God's sakes. I'm still watching the VHS of the first movie if I want to watch this movie. That's fucked.
Well, I know you're into that now. I don't know what to say.
I am. But still.
So in short, nerds.
That's always fun.
That hat.
I know. It's always hilarious when Dan says it.
Shut up, Todd.
It doesn't work.
I know.
The hat makes me rugged and thus not a nerd.
I guess it's his word, so he's allowed to use it. I don't know the way it works.
You know what's weird, too? Demons is the only movie released by Star Maker that I think they made new art for.
Really?
I think it's, I don't remember it, because if you think of the Star Maker tapes, how many of them had different art?
I don't remember any of them.
Demons is the only one that does.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, it's a fucking awesome piece of art. I have that release too.
That one really is. I do prefer that piece of art. So
I like it. I don't know if I prefer it, but I do like it.
Yeah, to each his own. Anything you want to add on this one?
Yeah, get us a better fucking release of this movie.
Again, I'm not saying don't buy this one, because it still is a good release. But if you're really passionate about the true U.S. audio, then you're going to be a little disappointed, because it looks awesome. The other track sounds really good. So it's one of those. And the second one, both looks and sounds great.
Yeah. I think this is something I wanted to bring up earlier, because you reminded me that you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, if you sit on this, because realistically, if you miss the pre-order, you're already pissed off that you missed the pre-order, because now you're going to pay more than what you originally planned on paying. If you wait and it takes forever for those other sets to come out, if there is going to be another set, you run the risk of this set getting more and more expensive. So it's kind of that catch-22. If you want to take the risk for the reward and wait, it might be worth it. But at the end of the day, if you're a diehard Demons fan and you want to own the set, there's a really good chance you pre-ordered it when it was available. But if you somehow missed it, your opportunity is now. I mean, if you're going to pay $100 for it, that's nothing compared to the $300 you're going to pay in a month.
It is still technically orderable on Amazon UK as of this recording, but it is listed as temporarily out of stock. But because they didn't pull the listing, there's a good chance it'll still get fulfilled. So
we also have to take into consideration Arrow's probably going to do standard releases. This is just a box set. We're probably going to get a standard release, and it'll chafe me in the biggest fucking way if they fix the audio problem on the standard release.
I will
be mad.
I wouldn't be shocked to see them fix the flagging on the first one, so the audio, or on the second one, so those audios are listed properly.
Yeah.
Because if that's
the first and the second,
okay,
they both are listed as stereo and they're actually mono track.
Okay,
so what they'll probably do is they'll probably fix it on the packaging and maybe on the menu.
Yeah,
because that's a quick reauthor. It's not going to cost them much to do that, and then they'll because they'll have to offer new discs anyways.
Honestly,
there are a lot of
they can go on the cheap and just throw a slip in the packaging too. Note there's an error on the thing. They don't even have to redo anything if they go that route.
Well, if they're going to release a standard edition, they're going to be doing new packaging anyways. So probably.
Yeah.
They're going to fix it. You're going to buy. Oh, and you're going to buy the next two. Then a month later, they're going to announce.
Well, if they fix it, and it's only on the first one, I'll just buy the first one again. I don't give a shit. But I don't want to buy the second one again because I don't need to. The second one, like again, the second one's fine. They did nothing. The second one,
well, if you don't want it to be
perfectly,
complete,
no audio issues. I'll still have a set. I mean,
I know, Chris acting like he won't buy them. He's got like three copies of it on VHS.
I've only got two. No, I've actually got four of Demons on VHS. You scoundrel! I've only got two on part two.
Oh, I thought you had three on part two.
No, only the two. I've got the sealed copy and the open copy. I was going to get the Anchor Bay release, but I really did decide. I have it uncut on Blu-ray. I mean, I really don't care if it's uncut on VHS. It's fine.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, Chris. Need that Star Maker Demons 2 tape.
There is no Star Maker Demons 2 tape. What's wrong with you?
I see. I'm screwed.
Yeah,
Star Maker Demons.
Yes, that's what I meant. And you do have that one.
Who doesn't know that,
and
Todd?
I also have my release of it is a rare release because it's actually an SP.
The Star Maker one?
Yeah, the EP. A lot. Every copy of Demons
now, Star Maker is EP. Now, let me ask you this. Does it actually have the Star Maker logo or is it still the New World one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. I'll show it to you.
Well, no, I meant when you play it, not on the case.
Oh no, on the tape itself, it does have on the when you play the movie, it does say Star Maker.
Okay, no, because I have like a Return of the Killer Tomatoes where it's all Star Maker.
Oh,
but wait. it's actually the New World tape inside.
Oh, I remember you showing that to me. Mm-hmm. I have to. Maybe I can do this.
You know, you're right. The demons are the U.S. demons aren't as much better. I forget. I was getting them mixed up for the first one.
So that's
VHS.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
So that's the Star Maker tape. And see? Star Maker SP. Hello. But this is the New World tape.
Yeah. No, that's the one.
I bet you guys don't have the Belgian VHS release with that sweet exclusive art.
I don't know if Dan's joking and there's something we don't know.
No, the Belgian VHS. You don't have it?
I don't know what it looks like.
Oh, shit. I'm surprised you don't have it.
Me or Chris?
What does it look like?
Chris. I mean, it's awesome artwork. It's got really cool. I'm fucking with you. I'm just...
I just
wanted to make it like an hour or two on eBay of you searching for Bell. But that would be mean. So I won't do it.
Damn,
what
Dan
kind of helps if you keep it going.
I know Dan came with jokes. I'm gonna give him props on that one. I'm gonna give him.
And actually, I didn't think you'd buy it, but then it looked like you were starting to, and I was like, no, I don't want his entire evening to be fucked. The Belgian VHS movies.
You should not have doubted yourself. You know, Dan didn't know more than you.
I know. No, well, because there are a lot of releases in the movie, and I'm trying to remember what the cover. I was just trying to remember the artwork. I'm like. Is the Australian artwork, but that looks like shit. What the fuck? What artwork is he talking about? I've never. Okay, Belgian whatever. Artwork.
Maybe it does. Let's Google Belgian demons.
I feel like there has to. I mean, it got released all over the world. It has one of the weirdest ones is the Spanish release. It has the movie's called Demonios or something like that. But the front of the cover is George loading up. The gun for the from the helicopter. I don't know what the hell would they call it. Not harpoon gun, the hook.
Mm-hmm.
That's the front cover. Like, how does that say demons to you? Like, it's a guy loading a fucking gun to shoot a bunch of.
Whatever. Do you own that one or?
No, I've just seen pictures of it.
Okay, that's probably I would imagine super expensive, shitty art, but super expensive. I would bet.
Yeah, people. There's one guy. He's actually more obsessed than me.
What?
Yeah, I know. He's on Instagram. Of course, I can't remember his name right now. But he has every fucking release of this movie
Oh, wow.
ever put on any version ever. I mean, he's got like a Russian bootleg VHS.
Once you go down the rabbit hole, though, I would imagine, like, well, fuck.
Once you get to Russian bootlegs, you've gone too far. That's when you know things have gone south.
It's probably a cool background, though, if you can get them all, you know.
I don't, he's taking pictures of them all laying on the floor. It's like,
I think I've seen that. I think I saw you comment on one or something.
Yeah, I have, because he wants my copy of the New World tape, because it's the cleanest copy anyone's ever seen. It's still got the original shrink wrap on it. It still has the original price tag on it. Like, this fucker, this was $80.
Yep, $79.95.
Tell him you'll trade him for the Belgian VHS.
Call that.
Track it down. But did you guys want to talk about the unrelated sequels?
Yeah, we could.
In this movie. Have you guys seen any of those?
They're Demon Six. What's that one?
You got the Ogre, the Church, right. Sort of.
So there's Demons 3, which is technically, okay, so the real Demons 3 is technically the Church. That was the movie that was conceived initially as Demons 3. Then Mikhail Sove came in and said he didn't want to make another Demons movie. He wanted to do something different. And he took that script and he morphed it into a more supernatural demon film, and that became The Church. Demons 3 The Ogre, I think, was just titled Demons 3 because of Lindbergh Baba's connection. Then there's also Black Demons,
yep,
which is called Demons 3 in Italy, much to the dismay of Umberto Lenzi, because as he says in his interview on that Shriek Show disc, his movie has nothing to do with Lindbergh Baba's films, and he doesn't know why they called it Demons 3. It actually really upset him. So, hey, whatever. That's a movie that needs a Blu-ray at some point, too. I'm shocked no one's done that. We've got Erotic Nights of the Living Dead on Blu-ray, but somehow Black Demons has managed to slip through the cracks.
Don't be hating on Erotic Nights of the Living Dead.
Yeah, you can keep your genital wart. And then there's Demons 4, which is The Sect. That was released by Scorpion. Demons 5 is The Devil's Daughter, which I don't think has been released, unless that's The Sect as well.
No, The Devil's Daughter is The Sect.
Is The Sect.
Oh, I may still have it. I actually have the VHS of The Sect under that title.
Have the Blu-ray, yeah.
Yeah, but the Demons 5 was something I remember the cover.
This is where it gets to the Demons 5 and 6 get confusing. Because there is that Demon 6 one. Oh, hold on. Let me see.
Well, the Black Cat that Severin just put out, that's Demon 6 in some territory.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one. The Japanese one. But I actually think the movie that they called Demons 5 in Japan wasn't ever released in English. I think it's only ever been put.
The Devil's Veil?
That's the one.
There we go. Okay. So there you go. 89.90. Demons 5.
Yeah.
Devil's Veil.
And it actually sounds like an interesting movie. They all have interesting premises, and thank God they all actually have something to do with demons, but just not the first two movies, you know.
I got it.
What? Now, if you guys were to make a real demon 3, what would you do with it?
Jeez. Well, we have one in a movie theater. We have one in the apartment complex. I don't know. I don't want to say a mall.
Quarantine. Bunch quarantine.
Yeah, but Dan, where would they be, Dan?
Well, in an apartment building locked down by
quarantine. So like we just saw in part two. That would be
a part two. Sort of,
but I think, I mean, you're right, but I think the aspect of
being
able, like, they could even get out. I mean, but
I got it. Dan's gonna hate it because he hates youth. I'm gonna say do Demons 3 in a high school.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, there's a student doing a book school report, or trying to and uncover something and get scratched by
a
paper cut on an old book that has like Nostradamus's book or something, and there's demon's blood on the page. But
got it.
Gets them possessed, and then they start rampaging through the school. That could be fun. I think the proposed concept for Demons 3, the real Demons 3 by, I think it was Bobby Rhodes and Greta Greta was on a plane.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, we've kind of seen the plane gimmick. What if you did like a Demons like meets Die Hard knockoff with like terrorists coming in again?
What is your heart on with an apartment building or high rise?
Because it's cool. I want to see the John McClane fighting demons. It's still I guess
we've already. If you're okay, Dan, this is why you should. This is why you shouldn't quit your day job. If somebody comes to you, if you go to somebody at a pitch meeting and say, "I want to make Demons 3," and you say, "I want it to take place in an apartment building," they're just going to look at you and go, "All right, so Demons 2 exists. What else do you have?"
But like, Aja Argento is not John McClane. I want to add the terrorists. All right, the terrorists take over a high school then.
Oh, that they were making Demolition High, but...
fuck Demolition High.
Whoa.
And also, Die Hard, it wasn't an apartment building. It was an office building. You want educated Mook?
Dan's the person who listens to the Anna Nicole Smith interview where she says the movie Skyscraper is like Die Hard 2, but in a building.
Makes perfect sense to me. God damn it.
Of course it does. Demons 3 were supposed to be in a plane, and it was supposed to have to do with music because they had done movies, so they thought it could be
TV
through music instead.
Realistically, though, if you got a Demons 3, it's not going to probably, I don't know if they can get the budget to make it work.
Dan,
on
we're
a
not
play.
Talking about making it like today, what would have been.
Well, yeah, but still, it could happen.
I'm talking if Demons 2 was like this massive success, bigger than the first movie in terms of like return. And the producers were like, "We need a part 3 tomorrow." What would you tackle it? I mean, I think the school idea is cool. I probably would want to do something that's a little more open, if I'm being honest. Like, I would probably want to, you know, I mean, the ending of the first film, certainly an apocalyptic city could be fun.
Yeah.
You know, something like that where it could just be fucking balls to the wall gore from, all different angles. Because, you already have two movies where people are trapped in a building. What are you going to do differently in a third film where you've got them trapped in a building? You know, so let's bring them out of the building and into whatever setting that they're in, and sort of force them to survive in a city that,
you know, what,
or just growing larger and larger.
I think honestly, the best bet for the third one would be a continuation of the what we find out at the end of the first one, and just revisit those characters.
Well, there are a lot of people who have speculated that George from part two is George from the first movie. Because both characters are named George and look very similar. Again, something that a line of dialogue would have confirmed, but there's never a conversation about, I've been through this before, I know how to handle these things, you know? But also shit that I'm sure they weren't thinking of. I'm fairly certain George is named George in part two because it's an American sounding name.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered, would it have been better if they kind of made it so this was happening parallel with the first film and the second film? So like the demon, it's like outbreaking at the same time. So it's basically happening everywhere.
Yeah, that could have been interesting too. That would have been really unique if they had done something like that. Also, the movie in the movie, Demons 2, the documentary they're watching, that could be an interesting idea of these people are trapped in an abandoned city and all of the dead demons start being resurrected one by one. And as, the night progresses, their chances of survival just get less and less. But that way you still got a bunch of demons and you still got four or five characters that you can, follow around. I have to wonder in that documentary, who the hell was filming it?
Good point.
I'm ripping,
not very much like a movie.
I'm ripping off Jason X, but what about Demons in Space? That could also be fun. Yes, Dan, I'm ripping off Jason X.
Dan, you always want something in space. And to be fair, wouldn't it be ripping off Hellraiser? Because weren't they the first ones to go to space?
Well, Hellraiser, Leprechaun 4. It's been done, but it'd be cool. You find the mask, like, just in the future sort of shit. Just
who,
like, you
who
know.
Were the, what was the first movie to go, horror movie to go to space with the franchise? Was it Hellraiser?
I believe Hellraiser beats Leprechaun 4, but I can confirm.
Well, yeah, Bloodline sat on the shelf a while. Well, I want to clarify, we're not saying the first horror movie in space, but the big franchise.
Yeah, the first, basically the first one to jump the shark.
Yeah, right. Not Alien or, yeah.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah, not that.
Okay, Hellraiser is listed as 96. Leprechaun 4 has to predate that. No, they're both 96. So,
well, what month did Leprechaun 4 come out?
Well, technically, Leprechaun 4 was released February 25th, 1997. And Hellraiser Bloodline was released June 29th, 96. Well, that's South Korea. Let me see if I can find the U.S. date.
Well, if it was released anywhere, it was still released.
Okay, that's true.
So, plus, if it was completed, like Dan said, it did sit for, I think, a year or two, so.
Yeah, Leprechaun knew it was coming, probably hoped it would be a bigger hit, and yeah, they could piggyback it.
Well, they made a fifth and sixth one.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Leprechaun Goes Spring Break, but
that's what I did. We did not need Back to the Hood. We needed something different.
I like Back to the Hood. I know you do. In the Hood, so I'm glad we got that. But I would have liked to have seen the Spring Break one because that was the original idea. And then In the Hood was so successful, like, oh, let's do another one just like that. I'm like, no, bring us the fucking Spring Break.
You had Ice-T in the franchise. You could have Snoop Dogg when he did his Girls Gone Wild stuff, and he's the lead in Leprechaun Spring Break.
I'm not even gonna argue with you on that one, Dad. I'd watch the
show. I actually really like it. Yeah, see, okay, you're on track now. See, this is
yes, I ripped off Die Hard and I ripped off Jason X, but now I came up with something completely original.
Only took three tries for you to come up with something on your own.
Home run.
Actually, technically, it took four because he also ripped off Demons too. Let's be real. I mean, you know. We asked him for a sequel idea for Demons 3 and he pitched us Demons 2. Good job.
Now, if they just put me in charge of the Star Wars universe, I'll kill off Baby Yoda and everything will be good.
What is the Star Wars universe?
I don't know.
Universe, whatever. That's late.
That's how they say the Star Trek universe.
Universe.
There. Always those Trek fans just want to take a pop shot at poor Star Wars. Not even the same genre.
It's unfortunate is what it is. I don't know.
Just kill him off.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Pugs is gonna come after you now, by the way. So now you gotta watch it for Kruger and Pugs. So you've been forewarned. All right. On that note, is there anything else anyone wants to touch upon before we get out of here?
No. Be sure to fleshwoundfeatures.com, putting over Todd's good work, because that's a really cool website now. We've updated everything. Like, share, and subscribe, and hit that notification bell here on YouTube, and check out the S'mores Indoors interview with Sean Oliver that I was a part of. Yeah.
And, you know...
Thank you for my laser disc.
No, you're welcome. And, you know, don't forget to mention, Dan, we got like a whole month of Giallo films.
Whole month of Giallo. We have got a lot to
started pick. Today. You know, there's yes. always room for Giallo.
There's always room for Giallo. And don't forget Patreon, Flesh Wound Features.
Yeah, we have. Star and what else do we have coming up this month, Dan?
What else do we have coming up this month? We have there's a several things. I don't want to say something I'm not supposed to say.
Okay, yet. then I'll do it, Dan, because it's out there. Our 500th episode will be dropping March 24th. Chris, if you're free, please join us.
Oh, great. I mean, he asked me in public. Oh, I have to show
you
up.
Don't have to answer right now. That's why I said if you're free. I mean,
it's too late.
To be fair, I mean, you're the reason we're doing this.
Stop reminding me.
You got to be there for my Night of the Demons pitch next. So,
no, that, I don't want to hear any of that.
That we should keep you off.
Yeah, you try doing that. I do know where you live, and you're not that far away.
I just want it to be like Angela at a camp, and you know,
sleepaway camp. Sleepaway camp. Is that what you want?
I didn't tell you.
That's a big twist if we get that at the end.
I didn't want to tell you my reveal at the end.
Oh, jeez. All right, on that note, I guess before Dan gets too graphic on his film, let's get the hell out of here.
Don't steal my ideas, Hollywood.
I'm sure that's...
You already stole them from somebody else.
All right, well, thanks for checking us out. Dan, say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah.
We don't have plugs to say anything now.
I know, right?
All right.
Yeah, why not just say for Demons 3, let's have five friends go to a cabin and read from an old book?
It's not bad. I mean,
like, it's not.
All right. Well, that's our.
What the fuck was that?